This is taken from the last chapter of the Gospel of John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." So the rumor spread in the community that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If there are any kids who want to come up and talk with me, that'd be great. Okay, I'm just going to have a little breakfast, if that's all right. Oh. You guys ever eat breakfast? Yeah? What do you guys have for breakfast? Cereal or pancakes? What do you have for breakfast?
Bacon.
Oh, bacon. I love bacon. I wish this was a box of bacon right now pouring into this bowl, but it's It is some delicious, gluten-free Honey Nut Cheerios, packed full of hundreds of vitamins. So it says on the side, anyway. So I was reading a story about Jesus, and they were having breakfast. Now, if Jesus were to come suddenly here and have breakfast with us, like come to church, it's like, hey, I'm Jesus, how's it going? And we'd be like, oh, that's Jesus. Let's eat something. What do you think he would want to eat right now? Would he have this cereal, you think, which is delicious? What would you feed Jesus? If you could cook something for Jesus, what would it be? What's that? A quesadilla, nothing wrong with that. If that's what you can cook, then that's what you give Jesus. Popcorn? All right, that's good. What about you? Have some eggs? Yeah, I'm sure Jesus would take some eggs. In the story, do you remember, if you were listening, which it's okay, it was a long story, you could have been using your imagination to think about everything, so you may not have caught it. But do you remember what Jesus was at a charcoal fire, it said. What was there? Fish, right. And what else? One other thing. Fish and bread, right. Have you ever had fish for breakfast?
No.
Oh. Some salmon in the morning. That's pretty well. Salmon anytime, cooked anyway, all parts of salmon are awesome. That's what I think anyway. But the story about Jesus coming was he died. That's on Easter we learned, you know, that he died, but then was raised. And so this is what happened. He came and he surprised everybody, and everybody's like, oh, it's Jesus. And Jesus says, come on over and have breakfast. I've cooked some fish and some bread. Bring the fish that you've got. So they shared a meal together. So what I get from that story is that when Jesus comes around, something new and interesting and exciting is going to happen. So that's the next time you get up, which, are you all going to school tomorrow? Did you have break? Did you?
Yeah.
So you're going to school tomorrow, right? So tomorrow, and you're probably going to eat breakfast, right? And it'll be a good breakfast. So I've got a prayer. Beth, can you hand me that bulletin? Yes, thank you. Because I'm not going to get up quickly to get. So I found this prayer that someone said that I thought was a good prayer. So I'm going to pray it, and you repeat after me. And then we'll put this prayer online. So anytime if you forget this prayer or want to pray a good prayer in the morning before you start the day, because you know Jesus is going to be doing something special with you, that God is going to be around, and you never know what's going to happen, this is the prayer that is a good morning prayer to pray. So repeat after me. Let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today.
Thank you for being with me.
This morning.
Today.
This evening.
And forever.
Amen. I think when you say that, whether you say that prayer or not, God is going to show up at breakfast time and all kinds of crazy times that you're not ready for. And some amazing new things are going to happen, and that's really exciting. So if you would like to take a handful of this cereal, if you like it, it's pretty good without milk. You're certainly welcome to do that. This may or may not have been Jesus' cereal. Probably not, but it may have been. You never know. Okay, thank you. That's all. So look online for that prayer. We'll put that on there so that you can pray that prayer. Thank you for coming up. So I've got three B words that come up for me as I was looking at this, all of these Bible passages for today. Belonging, brokenness, and breakfast. So we'll start with belonging. And I was thinking about belonging because the first lesson is about Paul and his experience of getting knocked off a horse by Jesus, and that changed his life, and he was blind, and another person came who was also called to do some amazing things for God and to change this person's life, who had been totally against what Christians were about And then, because of that encounter with Jesus, became a complete 180 reversal advocate for Jesus. So that's who Paul was. He now belongs to the church. He belongs to the body of Christ. He belongs to Jesus. And that's what this gospel lesson is about as well. You know, a lot of it is about Peter, you know, and Peter talking with Jesus. And some have said this 21st chapter, which I included those last five verses, the 20 through 25, because I just like that last verse. But there are many other things that Jesus did. If any one of them were written down, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. The truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus, is that he continues, that his story continues, and it continues because we are marked. That's what we believe in the church. I've got my Ash Wednesday shirt on, but that's a cross, supposed to be a cross if you can see it. We are marked by the cross of Christ. We belong to God. And so whenever there's a baptism, we do that. We mark people with the cross of Christ. You now belong to God. Every creation is, every person has always belonged to God, but this is a special way to acknowledge you belong to God. I sent you, Jesus, to remind you, you belong to me. Through Jesus, through the cross, we belong to God. It's easy to forget every day that we're children of God. It's easy to forget. So that's what this cross is. A reminder again and again, I belong to God. I belong to God. God loves me. I belong to God. So belong, that's the first one I think about. And especially with Peter here, who had said no to Jesus three times, now he says yes to Jesus three times. So there's kind of a balancing there, a balancing act in this gospel. The writer says, yeah, Peter is back. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And then Jesus says, follow me. You belong to me. Follow me. And then he has breakfast. So belonging is the first thing. Brokenness. It's easy to feel broken. The world is tough sometimes. And I was leaning in the chair and thinking, we tend to lean towards that so easily, being broken. We that's just a kind of a natural tendency. That's not how we're made. But in the world, things happen and we get broken, whether it's physically, emotionally, relationally, broken things happen. And I don't usually, you know, broken, man, that sounds kind of negative, Pastor Eric. Well, in the first reading, Paul, it says, is an instrument for God. And the Greek word is vessel. And this reflection that someone had written, her name is Austin Shelley. She talks about a gift she got from her mother-in-law, and it's a broken cup, a chipped cup. And she said the background story is her husband, Mark, 12 years old, he did this fundraising thing, and he got this set of six beautiful cardinal on the side cups. And so he was bringing them out to show to his mom, and he was running, and he tripped at school. They all fell, and one survived and had a big chip in it. And so she said, as I unwrapped this gift at their wedding, from the mother-in-law, she told her, he isn't perfect, love him anyway, as she gave her, Mark's, her husband's, this cup that he had, you know, this chipped cup. A broken cup. And so this is what she says about brokenness in relationship to this text. But Jesus doesn't seem interested in erasing or fixing Peter's brokenness. Instead, a broken Jesus feeds a broken Peter and commissions him to respond by extending Jesus' sustenance to others. Feed my sheep. None of us escapes this life unbroken. Yet God sustains us and calls us to be about God's work, We are not perfect. God loves us anyway, not just in spite of our brokenness, but because of it. It may seem sophomoric or sentimental to affirm that God treasures us, brokenness and all. But consider how hard this promise is to believe. We run to God with a net full of fish, with half a dozen cardinal mugs, our extended arms filled with hope that God will be pleased. We end up with scraped knees and skinned elbows, our sidewalks and shorelines covered in disappointment, our clothes dripping wet with the weight of sins and griefs long past. And then we get to the breakfast part, which is why I had breakfast with the kids. The breakfast on the beach in John's gospel compels us to believe that our compassionate God knows a thing or two about brokenness. It invites us to warm our aching muscles by the fire, to taste a morsel of fresh fish, and to imagine that the risen Jesus gathers us up, gathers up the remnant, the imperfect but salvageable offerings of our broken lives, and cherishes them. It reminds us that we are filled to the brim with the story of God. The story of God continues. That's what resurrection is about. It continues again and again as Jesus meets us, as God meets us, and new things happen again and again. We belong to God. No matter how broken we are, we still belong to God. We are God's children, and the story continues. And Jesus says, "Follow me." And as we sing the hymn of the day, think about that, what that means for you when Jesus says, "Follow me." Amen.